S&P futures are sitting at 75.56, down about 14.5 points from the previous close, which is a modest decline for a Sunday evening. But the broader market picture has some interesting stress signals worth examining. Tom Lee at Fundstrat warning of bear market conditions later in 2026 is notable because Lee has historically been a bull. He was one of the more persistently optimistic voices through multiple market corrections. When someone with his track record of bullishness starts talking about bear conditions, the market tends to pay attention.
The SpaceX story is one of the more fascinating intersections of capital markets and technology in the current cycle. SpaceX trades at what MSCI is describing as the priciest valuation of any S&P 500 equivalent stock, but it can't join the actual S&P 500 until 2027 because of S&P Dow Jones Indices eligibility rules. The company needs a longer track record of public trading. Meanwhile, the stock has shed 20% from its recent peak as retail investors exit. MSCI also just gave SpaceX its lowest possible ESG rating ahead of index inclusion decisions, which matters because ESG-mandated funds can't hold positions in the lowest-rated stocks.
That 20% decline from peak is interesting context. SpaceX has had extraordinary momentum, and the retail investor retreat might simply reflect profit-taking after the initial run-up. But the MSCI ESG rating creates a structural headwind. There's a class of institutional capital that simply cannot own the stock at that rating level, regardless of the growth thesis. That creates an unusual market dynamic where the fundamental business may remain strong while the capital formation story is constrained by governance classifications.
The Musk-Vance clash over government stakes in AI firms is a genuinely important policy disagreement with real market implications. Vance backed a proposal for a sovereign wealth fund to hold equity in AI companies, seeing it as a way for the U.S. government to capture some of the value created by the AI build-out. Musk pushed back, advocating for direct treasury payments instead. What's striking is that this is a public disagreement between Musk, who has significant AI interests through XAI, and the sitting vice president, playing out in real time. A government equity stake in AI companies would have profound implications for valuations and governance.
Jane Street planning to hire more than 500 people as it scales Wix. AI trading is worth examining in the context of what it reveals about where quant finance is going. The firm, which now employs 3,500 people and is building its own data center to train AI models for predicting asset prices, is essentially describing a path where the competitive moat in quantitative finance shifts from mathematical models to AI infrastructure. Building your own data center to train proprietary models is a capital commitment that separates the firms with genuine AI ambitions from those using AI as a marketing term.
Private equity firms piling debt onto portfolio companies to fund dividend recapitalizations to themselves is a story that sounds technical but describes a specific and concerning dynamic. Half of 2026 dividend recap volume has come in the last 4 weeks, as PE owners exploit favorable loan markets to extract cash from portfolio companies before any deal-making environment changes. What this means in practice is that companies are taking on new debt so their PE owners can receive cash payouts now, leaving the portfolio companies more leveraged and more fragile going forward. In a scenario where Tom Lee's bear market prediction proves correct, those highly leveraged companies become vulnerable.
The EU's 3 euro duty on cheap online imports taking effect July 1st is a trade policy move aimed squarely at platforms like Temu and Shein, which have built business models around extremely low-cost goods shipped directly from Chinese manufacturers to European consumers, often below the previous duty thresholds. 3 euros may sound small, but applied at scale across millions of individual packages, it changes the unit economics of that business model. The EU is essentially saying that the previous duty-free threshold was being exploited in ways that disadvantaged European retailers.
Goldman Sachs cutting smartphone forecasts because of memory cost squeezes connects to a broader cycle in the semiconductor and consumer electronics space. Memory chips, DRAM, and NAND flash went through a period of oversupply and price collapse, but the AI build-out has been consuming enormous amounts of high-bandwidth memory, pulling supply away from consumer devices and driving prices back up. Goldman's forecast cut reflects that dynamic working its way through to end demand. Higher memory costs mean higher device prices, which at the margins suppresses upgrade cycles.
And Novo Nordisk shares climbing despite a ransomware crisis, driven by success of oral Wegovy, tells you how powerful the GLP-1 drug market remains. Investors are looking past the ransomware operational disruption, which is a real short-term problem, because the successful development of an oral formulation of semaglutide has profound long-term implications. Injectable medications have inherent adoption limits. An oral version could expand the addressable patient population substantially, and the market is pricing that potential in.